2 Peter 1:2. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And we focus on verse 3, "as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. All things. He's given us all things. He has given us. He's not going to. He's given them all. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So if we have something, you know, that we seem to be missing in our life, or there's a chunk that it just seems like, man, something's missing, we know God's given it. He's given all things that pertain to life and godliness. And, you know, that's kind of what we were talking about last week, just going over this this handout, the invoice. You know, and it says that these things have been provided by Jesus Christ. Through the power, we receive them through the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. You know, Holy Spirit is on the earth today. The Holy Spirit has been sent. But salvation, eternal life, redemption, the forgiveness from sin, infilling of the Holy Spirit, healing, wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, grace, peace and protection, prosperity, all the things that we need in this life have been given to us and made available through Jesus. In the new covenant, it's through Jesus. Everything we need, it's through Jesus. There is an old covenant, and there was a way of relating to God that was based on your works. If you didn't do something, then there were consequences. But we have a new covenant whereby all the things that we need have been given to us through Jesus. They've been made available to us through Jesus. Through him, we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. And we just kind of exhorted on that and kind of gave an overview. I just want to go a little bit further today and talk about it a little bit more. If we turn to Colossians 1:9, we'll start there. Or pick up there, I guess. Colossians 1:9, we'll just read and then we'll go on. "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." He's qualified us to be partakers. Verse 12, qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has qualified us to be partakers of this inheritance. All these things that we've listed, everything that pertains to life and godliness, he's made available, and he's qualified us to be partakers. He's qualified us to be partakers. We've talked about being qualified. We're qualified to be partakers of all things that pertain to life and godliness, all things in the inheritance. We are qualified. And this thing, this is at one sense, it's foundational. But at the same time, if you think, I think sometimes we've made it like this is something. So you have to understand this really to go forth and really partake of what God has provided. At the same time, it's like, I don't think this is what a lot of people understand. I've been around faith churches. I've grown up in faith churches. I've been a lot of places, see, and it's like we gloss over it. Like, oh yeah, we know that Jesus has provided stuff. So then, but we get into all this other stuff and let's learn and learn and learn. And then we can use our faith. And it's almost like we flipped it to where our focus is on our faith instead of on what made these things available, which is the grace of God, which is the fact that Jesus made the inheritance available. He qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance. Our faith is how we receive it. But we flipped it to put everything, at least what I've seen in my experience, I've experienced in my own life, you get so focused on trying to believe that you miss the fact that it's already been done. And if you miss the fact that it's already been done, it's hard to receive it. On one sense, it's like it's foundational because you need to understand this to receive. But people almost discount it like, well, I understand that I'm the righteousness. Yeah, let me go into these greater things. But you don't really understand it. You kind of think, oh, yeah, I'm the righteousness. But in practicality, the fact that you're righteous is because you're in the family of God, because you have been qualified. And that's the very thing that makes you able to partake. But we focused on the things after it, so we've missed the very foundation, which means we can't actually partake. So it's like we've discounted the fact that this is the core of what we need to know. Salvation is not something trivial. The fact that Jesus did all this for us is not trivial. The fact that we believe, forgiveness of sins is in the same package as healing. Is in the same package as wisdom and everything. It's all in the same package. And it's like, well, you know, we never want to discount salvation. We never want to discount the fact that God's forgiven our sins. But the same way we receive the forgiveness of sins is the same way we receive all these other things. And it's by believing, this is our emphasis today, it's by believing that it's an inheritance. That in fact, all this stuff has been paid in full. If you can paint a picture in your mind, this is an inheritance. It's an inheritance. Now, on the earth, I just read about something recently, maybe you did too. The royal family overseas. One of the men is becoming, you know, close to the age he's going to qualify to receive part of his inheritance. Then at least the interest. And then 5 years later, he gets access to all the principal. Let me ask you something. What did he do in and of himself to qualify for the inheritance? He was born into a family. Did he do any, if he, I'm not saying anything about anybody's behavior, if you know what I'm talking about, I don't know one way or another. What I'm saying is it doesn't matter the person's behavior or how they've conducted themselves. The reason I'm not getting millions of dollars right now, because I'm not in that family. I'm in a different family. So right now, the thing that I could be the best person and somebody else in a different family could, you know, live however. But the thing that gets them qualified is their name. They've been born. That's easy for us to understand. You say, well, why are they inheriting? Well, that's being passed down. That's exactly the way we receive things from God. Now, that seems almost too easy, too contrary. The thing is, but that is exactly, if we have to renew our minds to this fact, this will change our lives. This changes when you realize it's not up to you. See, we can't think it's our works and grace. It says over in Romans, if grace, you know, if, I'm just going to turn over there. Now, Romans 4:4, it says, now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. If you work, let me ask you something. If you work, you know, and you go on Friday to pick up your check, let me ask you something. Is that just the grace of your employer that's given that, or did you earn it? If you went in with a contract or, you know, you signed something up, this is going to be your salary. If you do this, this is how much you get. When you go in, okay, you guys are turning, Romans 4:4. Go back to Romans 4:1. Let's read again. For what then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. Now, so we were just saying, if you have a contract with your employer, or, you know, an agreement, well, if you work an hour, you get paid X dollars. Now, if you work an hour, he comes up and says, you know, I'm feeling really gracious today. I'm going to give you the amount that we've agreed to because you worked that amount. You'd look at him and go, well, thanks, but you're just being a man of your word. You're not doing anything out of the ordinary. You're not being gracious to me. I earned it. Okay? But see, we've taken the mentality that we have to work for all these things. We have to work for all the promises of God. And if it's true that people do it all the time with a lot of these things. You can't work for salvation. But people work, you know, for other things, and they try to do it in their own strength, and they think, well, I've done it. Well, if that's the case, then, you know, it's not God's grace, it's the works. But what he's saying here, he's talking about Abraham, is that Abraham was called a friend of God, and righteous was accounted to him before the law. There was no law. There was no all these lists of things to do, and it was accounted to him before that. It was accounted to him by the grace of God. Well, it's the same way with us. We have to renew our minds to the fact that in the new covenant, it is by the grace of God, all these things. Now, might say, well, why doesn't it just fall on everybody? Okay, so if it's an inheritance, and if I'm a natural person and I'm receiving an inheritance just because I'm born into a family, that person doesn't have to do anything. So that just falls on them. So if the inheritance is like that, why doesn't it just fall on me? The thing we have to do with our inheritance, the thing we have to do is believe that it's by inheritance. It's by faith that we receive it. It's not, all these things are already provided, already paid in full by the grace of God. Now, do you believe that or not? If we emphasize, see, we've said now, we've even said it's by faith. But then we've emphasized all the things you have to do to build your faith to try to pull it out, that it's, you know, these things. Let's get our faith up. Well, it's true. You have to have faith to believe. But the thing that we have to emphasize to actually have faith is the grace of God, of how much what He's given. Emphasize the fact that it's been paid. It's been done. It's already done. And once you get to the fact that, you know what? I believe it's not by my efforts. It's by what He did. That's the thing that makes it real in our life. That's faith. But until we become convinced that that's the case, we won't believe. So then we say, well, if it's inheritance, why don't I have it? It's because we don't believe it. We think it's like we've been told. Now, this is where you can bring it into the natural. It's like we've been told we have an inheritance. Now, tell me right now, if we were told, if somebody came up to you right now and said, guess what? You have this relative that you didn't know about. He's left you $10 million or whatever is going to be big. And you're like, you know, $500 million. He's left you $1 billion. And if you said, what? Get out of here. You're from some morning radio show and you're trying to, you know, make a fool out of me. Get out of here. I'm not going to believe that. I'm not going. I'm not going to be on national TV, you know, following some scheme and look like an idiot. I'm not going to do it. I don't believe you. Shut the door and forget it. You could have evidence. But until you believe it, you're not going to go receive it and do whatever and sign the papers that says that I believe that. Well, in the spiritual, it's done. It's paid for. We have to get to the point that we believe that it's Jesus and not what we do. These things are really, they're already paid for because we're in the family of God, not because of what we've done. Now, the thing is, it's so that one of the easiest things for us to do is to slip back into the law, into trying to say it is by what we do. Because we do, like, we want to do a good job on our place of employment. You know, we want to do things in the natural. We want to take care of our bodies. The thing that we have to realize is that to receive any of these things, it's still, we're not trusting in that. See, we do the right things, but we're not trusting in them. See, if I was receiving an inheritance, I'd still want to conduct myself well. I'd still want to if I was running a business, you know, I wouldn't want to just sit at home. I'd still want to do things that are good business practice and everything. But see, I'm not trusting. If I knew, no matter what, I still have this inheritance, then I'm not trusting in the fact of my own efforts. I know that my trust is in this fact that no matter what, I still have a safety net. No matter what, I still have this inheritance. But my trust is in this inheritance. It's not in what I'm doing. It's not in what I'm trying to get. And there's a subtle difference. And once we get to the point where we believe that it's not by anything of my doing, it's just by the fact that I'm in this family, that things actually start changing. And I'm telling you, that's foreign to our thinking. It seems unfair. It seems just like a fairy tale. But when we get over the way God thinks, when the fact, if you had a relative that was rich beyond any measure, he could take care of anything you had, you know, that would change your perspective on life. When you're going around, you wouldn't start thinking, well, I better scrape in here and try to, you know, I better be really concerned with all these things, you know, that I'm spending, because I don't know if I'll be able to cover it. I don't know how I'm going to handle life. I don't know if I, you know, I'm going to get a good job. I don't know, you know. You would realize that, wait a minute, this guy can take care of all this stuff. It's not me. I didn't do anything to get in this family, but here, this guy's going to take care of all this stuff. We have to get over to where we look at God like that. We look at God that he's with us all the time, and no matter if we mess up and we don't make the best decisions, guess what? That's where it comes into play, that I made a mistake, but my trust is not in how good my performance is. It's in Jesus. So guess what? It's still constant. I can still be believing that I'm blessed. I can still be believing for God's wisdom. I can still be believing that I'm healed, even though I've made mistakes. I can still be believing that I'm prosperous, even though I've made mistakes, because God's economy is not based on what we do, on our work. Now, that doesn't mean we do, and we'll talk about that some other time. It doesn't mean that we don't do things the way we should. It doesn't mean we don't work diligently and all that. The Bible has a lot to say, but in the new covenant, it's still based on Jesus. It's still based on him. Do you see the difference? It's not, we do things that we should, but we're not trusting in those things. It's like, you know, if you were working on a high rise, you probably wouldn't just, and you had a safety net, you still probably wouldn't just jump off into the safety net. You'd do what you need to do your job well. But if you fell, God, you know, the safety net's still there to catch you. It's the same thing. It's much more than that. That we want to believe that God is able to do far above anything we could think, imagine, based on his supply, not on our supply. He can heal you no matter what kind of life you lived. Do you realize that? It doesn't matter if you've messed everything up. God can heal you and make it all brand new right now. He created people from scratch. He can create whatever. Do you realize that no matter how far you've messed your life up financially, that he can change it like that? In 24 hours, it can be completely turned around. We can see that in the natural. You could, you know, somebody, if you had, all of a sudden you found out you had a rich relative, he could change, you know, that financial situation. God's much more powerful. You could say, I've gotten myself so far into the corner in a relationship, I don't know how to get my way out. He's given you his wisdom. He can change it. He knows exactly what needs to happen. And it's not based on how much you think. The power of the Holy Spirit can change things that we don't know how to change. God is infinitely powerful, but we have to get to the point where we believe it's him and not us. And our pride works against us. And the world system works against us, because everything is based on performance in the world system. People make sports teams because they're good. And why not? But everything is like that. We want the all-star. You know, if you're not perfect on your job, you're liable to get thrown out the door. It's your performance. You got to be the best. You got to work harder. You got to do better. And it's all, if you slip up one little bit, somebody else is waiting at the door because they're better than you. And if we bring that mentality into our life, then we're looking at, I'm not qualified to receive any of this. And go back to the illustration. Hey, but I'm a king's kid. I'm in this family, so it doesn't matter if I qualify. I'm in because of Jesus. Jesus qualifies. And because he qualifies, I can receive it. And we have to get to a place where we look at him and not, when we look at him and not us, that's when we believe that it's not, I can't do anything about this. I know my feelings. I know that I'm not doing everything perfect, but I get to where I believe He is perfect and He is the reason. And when I get to the place where I believe it's Jesus and not me, I am in faith. See, when I'm trying to, that's faith. That's when it comes over to where I grab it and say, it is mine. It is mine because God said it's mine, not because of me. That's faith. See, when we emphasize the grace and the Jesus side of it, we get to the place where we actually believe it because we know it's not us. But when we put it that I have to step, boy, I just have to get it. I have to build my faith and build my faith till I really believe this. It's on us. We're trying to get the pulling part instead of the part that supplied it, the part that's pushing it our way. And when we get over to where it's God and that we know it's Him, we know He can't fail. I believe it. I don't care what it looks like. I know He can turn it around. We're in faith. We're on the other side. We're believing Him. That's when we turn, all things become possible. All this stuff becomes ours. We believe the inheritance is ours. We believe we're actually qualified today, not because of us, because of Him. And when we believe that, everything changes. We start going forward and walking like we are partakers of the inheritance. We walk like we deserve these things because we're children of God. And things change. We start acting different. We don't act like we're trying to earn it. Let's turn. I want to illustrate this. Let's turn to Mark 9:14. Mark 9:14. See, there is something we have to do. It's not all God, but it's not all us. But when we realize that it's God, that God has done the heavy lifting and He's done the heavy part, and all we have to do, our part is to believe. That's the thing that causes the blessings to flow. Mark 9:14. And when He came to the disciples, He saw a great multitude around them. Immediately when they saw Him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to Him greeted Him. And He asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." And He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, he immediately, the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood." This has happened. Now put yourself there. This kid has been in this situation his whole life, basically. From childhood. This has been happening. Often he has thrown him both into the fire, into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. That's your job. He didn't tell him, "I want you to generate the power to cast the spirit out." He said, "You believe. I'm the power. I'm the one that can cast it out. Your job, if you can believe, all things are possible." All things. All things are possible. Like we read before, all things that pertain to life and godliness. God's given us all things. When you believe, all things are possible in your life. Verse 24, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe. I want to believe what you're saying, but I'm also torn. Man, I've seen this for years. This has been in my face for years. This has been happening to my kid. I want to believe you, but I help me. Help me. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we cast it out? So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. So back in verse 23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. That is the crux of everything we receive from God, from salvation on. People get witnessed to all the time. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? No, I don't believe it. I believe that's a bunch of hogwash. They go on. They're not believing. They don't receive salvation. Well, you know, God can heal you. It doesn't matter what it is. God can heal you. I don't believe that. Guess what? They don't believe. There's nothing that's happening. Is it changed the inheritance? No, it has not changed the inheritance. They don't believe it, though. You know what? God can prosper you. I don't care where you are. I don't care. You know what? If you're in the slums, you know, completely in complete poverty, God can change your situation, make you rich. I don't believe that. I've seen this for years. I know I'm never going to get out of here. You don't believe. But if we believe, all these things become possible. If we believe that we are qualified because of who he is and because of our relationship with him, then, see, it's not me. It's the fact that he made the relationship with me. He brought me into the family, made the way for me. I believe that, so I got all this with it. Now I'm adopted into this family. Now if I believe that, I look around and I'm in this family. All these blessings are mine, and I believe it. Now they become possible. That's how I receive. Now, if I have trouble believing that, that's where I have to change my mind. See, I've been bombarded with stuff that tells me that's not true. So what's the antidote to that? Hear about the fact that it's the inheritance of God and it's grace that made it possible, and it's his ability, not my ability, and change my mind about it. It's not effort. It's not that I have to go and say, now I really have to try to believe. You can't try to believe. You either believe or you don't believe. Information changes your beliefs. You know, you may have, one day, you know, you didn't believe. You didn't believe in a certain, you know, whatever. This is how everything is formed. From the time you're a little kid, you're taught that 1 + 1 = 2. Do you realize they have mathematical, you know, proofs to prove that one is in fact one? I mean, you can just go on and on of all the evidence. But if you believed it, if I ask you what 1 + 1 is right now, without thinking about it, you're going to say 2. Now, let me tell you, if you had been told that 1 + 1 = 3 all your life, and you didn't know, Matt, you just knew that, you heard that phrase, 1 + 1 = 3, and I asked you that right now, you would say 3, because you believe it, because somebody told you it. But it's not true. But you believe it. See, it's what you believe. Now, if somebody took you aside and say, wait, I have one apple. Here's another apple. I add them together. How many does that make? Two. I mean, they explained it to you. Now you go, oh, okay. I see that 1 + 1 = 2. Now that becomes my belief system. And we, see, it's the same thing. You don't try. I don't care how hard you try. If you've been told all your life that 1 + 1 = 3, you don't try to believe that 1 + 1 = 2. It has nothing to do with your effort. Whether you don't say, I'm going to really try tonight to believe that 1 + 1 = 2. You can try the rest of your life, but it's not going to change your believing until something comes in and convinces you of the fact that 1 + 1 = 2. See, so that's why we go to the Word. We say, wait a minute, I'm not getting this. Something is tripping me up in my life. See, religious thinking will trip you up over and over because we've been told it's us. The world tells us it's us. I don't know how it can be all Jesus. I'm sure it's just somehow I'm missing it somewhere. That's where we're missing it because we're looking at ourselves. Once we get to the fact that, oh, the reality is it's him. I have to believe it's him, and if I believe it's him and he's done it and that I'm in this family and it's not me, it's just that I was born into this family, when we renew our mind to where that becomes more important than what we've heard all life and more convincing, then it's like, well, that follows. I believe that I'm in this family, so that means this is true, so I believe. And when we believe, it's like what it just said, all things are possible to him who believes. That's what that makes it flow. That's what makes us, faith is what changes. We believe it. That's how we got born again. When we believed it, we became born again. When we believe it, things start changing in our life. We believe that we can be prosperous no matter what. Then our behavior changes. When we believe that we can be healed regardless of our situation, that we're healed, not because of anything, but we believe him, then it changes. It's faith. All things are possible to him who believes. It's like putting yourself in the sun, or, you know, going to a tanning bed and putting yourself under the effects of a tanning bed. If you just show up and be there and put yourself under the tanning bed, I guarantee you something, you're going to feel the effects. And if you stay there too long, you're going to see the effects. You're going to, you know, look like a raccoon. You're going to be all red, and you're going to have little white spots where they put those things over your eyes or whatever. But the fact is, you didn't do anything to change your skin. The sun changed your skin. Okay? The way we change our belief system is by hearing the word and just looking, just putting ourselves in his presence and in front of his word. That changes. We don't have to try real hard to believe. If we're trying real hard to believe, we're focusing on the wrong thing. We're not hearing the message I'm telling you right now, is that it's him. And the more we renew our mind that it's him, when other thoughts come in, you have to do this, no, it's him. And he'll tell me what to do. And if I believe that it's him, that's what changes things. So I believe, therefore all things are possible. And when we put ourselves under him, it's like putting ourselves under that lamp. It changes us. It changes us. It changes us. It's not us. It's him. But he's changing us to be able to partake of his inheritance that he's already qualified for. And you know what? This works in every facet. If we don't know where we're missing it and why we're having a hard time, that's part of the package too. That's part of the inheritance. So just say, God, I need wisdom. God, I need you to show me. Show me where I'm missing. What's wrong with my thinking? God, show me the explanation. Show me how do I believe that, you know, 1 + 1 = 2 instead of 3. Where am I missing it? What's tripping me up? What's going on? And he does that. He has covered every base. He's covered everything. He knows how to get it across to us. We're his children. Thank God. He wants us to partake of what he shed his blood for more than we do. More than we do. It's not something we have to pull, you know, like we're trying to pull his teeth. Well, if I really, really believe, then, you know, God will move. Nope, God has already done it. God has already paid it. He's paid it in full. He's made everything available to us. Thank God.